Selling lies and buying time, killing people, next in line. Lower class and social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Censorship, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for their war. They shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape. They burn the kids, no one makes gun. Trees, lie to your face, fight and die. This God forgives. Buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. See the shit, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill. They massacre, rape, they burn the kids. No more things, gun, trees, lie to your face. Fight and die, cause God forgives. Yeah. Back around again.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV. I'm your host for the next hour. And just getting going here in the election in Ontario. I'm kind of behind on this, but we'll get it figured out. As I mentioned before, I have an invite to go and speak at a high school, which is going to be fun. And I just got a notice today that I have to go to a all-candidates meeting for the Federation, put on by the Federation of Agriculture. And I know a lot of the farmers are getting pretty ticked off with the never-ending regulations that keep coming at them, which is basically designed to drive them off the land. If I'm not mistaken, I believe the 1976 Habitat 1 preamble, Vancouver, 1976, states that what's not sustainable, private land ownership, and automobiles, air conditioning, and agriculture. So, you know, these mainstream parties are going to be saying, oh, agriculture is so important, and we're going to put this into agriculture and that into agriculture. All bullshit all the time. All they're doing is templating in the UN agendas, which is the fact that they have decided that agriculture is not sustainable. Now, I was talking to a farmer I know today, and he was, you know, I said, what's the main problem with agriculture right now? And he says, the never-ending, always-increasing regulations are putting down on top of us. So, you know, I already knew this from a long time ago. I've been a researcher for decades, and you know, it didn't take me long. I mean, here is a called Our World, brought to you by the United Nations University. Headline, 2010. Agriculture and food systems are unsustainable. That's correct. A landmark scientific assessment commissioned by the United Nations Environment Program, UNEP. Now, that's Morris Strong, was the head of that. Thankfully, he's dead now. The unfortunate part here in Ontario is that the head of UNEP, after Morris Strong, who was mentored by Morris Strong, when Elizabeth Dowdswell, just happens to be the Lieutenant Governor of Ontario now. She's the one sitting in place of Queen that signs legislature into place. And UNEP says agriculture is not sustainable. Has confirmed that agriculture is having a monumental impact on the Earth's finite resources. According to the study, 38% of the world's total land area was used for agriculture in 2007, and agriculture is responsible for over 70% of global freshwater consumption. The fact that the impacts of agriculture products came out so strongly in our report was quite surprising, says Professor Edgar G. Hurtwich, the Norwegian University of Science and Technology professor, is a lead author of Assessing the Environmental Impact of Consumption and Production, Priority Products and Materials, released in June of 2010. The report has was produced by the International Panel on Sustainable Resource Management, a body set up to provide independent and scientifically driven advice to the UN. Same kind of garbage as global warming, set up by the IISP, just another load of shit. So, production, consumption, and material usage. The report's purpose was to answer questions related to how different economic activities currently influence the use of natural resources and generation of pollution. The report's scope does not include providing recommendations to policymakers about how to address these problems, although future work by the panel may do this. The report considers environmental impacts from three perspectives: production, consumption, and material usage. However, rather than start from scratch, the panel's assessment distills key data from a broad collection of over 250 leading country, regional, and global studies, such as the Millennium Ecosystem Assessment. The study's two basic findings emphasize what we know from present scientific research. One is that our fossil fuel-driven industries, including housing and mobility, transport, are causing the depletion of fossil energy resources, climate change, and a wide range of emissions-related impacts. Okay, so including housing, all right? Now, 1976, what's not sustainable? Private property, that's your house. And mobility, they want you out of your car and into the light rail transit system so that they can control where it is you go and control what it is you live in. The other is that agriculture and food consumptions are one of the most important drivers of environmental pressures, especially habitat change, climate change, fish depletion, water use, and toxic emissions. For example, in the United States, the world's third largest agriculture producer, agrochemicals are responsible for the vast majority of the ecotoxicity of freshwater sources, with cotton alone accounting for up to 40% of the damage. Well, we could have stayed with hemp, and we would have had no damage. But the industries, both the fossil fuel industries and the cotton industry, didn't want hemp competition because they can't control hemp, because hemp will grow just about any damn place. And so the United Nations at the WHO made hemp a stage one drug, like heroin and cocaine or whatever. And that is why so many people were thrown in jail for a joint all those years, was to protect these industries. And these are the industries or the friends of the UN. Now, the meat. Most alarming, however, is the inefficiency of our food production system, encouraged by diet preferences in developed countries especially, but increasingly worldwide. Even in comparison to industrial activities, which are heavily criticized for their impacts on the atmosphere and biosphere, agricultural processes have an inherently low efficiency of resource use, which renders food, fibers, and fuels from agriculture among the more polluting resources. At the crux of our inefficient use of land, water, and soil is the fact that currently 50% of the world's crops are used to feed animals and not people. This problem will certainly be exacerbated in the future, given that increasingly Consumption of animal products correlates strongly with both population growth and economic growth, further compounding the pressure on food production. Is the increasing demand for energy that is encouraging more biofuel production from edible crops like corn and sugar. These forces are converging in a world where more than 1 billion people are undernourished. Hurwitz points out that a transformation in government policy is necessary here to reduce meat consumption, but is circumspect about how this can be achieved. Well, they're already about talking about putting a tax on meat, okay, in order to drive the price of meat up, in order to drive your consumption down. They want you all eating grass, just like the cattle, and no meat. This is the problem. So I'm not going to go on with this, but I am going to lay this out to the farmers who think that these mainstream politicians or political parties are on their side. The political parties take their lead from the UN and the multitude of different agencies under the UN. I'm going to have some fun at the Federation of Agriculture All Candidate meeting on the 25th, I think it is, or the 22nd. I'll have to look that up again. I am going to put some squirm into these mainstream media people. There's another story that really makes me want to puke here, and I'm going to bring in my buddy Chris Branscombe, who was better known as Duck, who was at a meeting the other night about bicycle lanes, sidewalks, narrowing of roads, slowing down of traffic, and so on and so forth, of which he brought his son and three of his friends to, which kind of opened their eyes to this nonsense that's going on. This next story I want to touch on briefly, which I have to put a story together on. Hell on Earth is the headline. Elizabeth May, and she's the leader of the Green Party here in Canada, leans on Liberals to denounce Australia's policy on asylum seekers. The Green Party leader says the hardline migration policy down under is worse of any modern democracy. Well, we don't have any democracy. We're still in the feudal system. Make no bones about it. This whole democracy thing is a crock of nonsense. Green Party leader Elizabeth May says Canada should take diplomatic steps to denounce Australia's hardline refugee policies, calling the country's offshore detention practices appalling. May is sponsoring new electronic petition to the House of Commons that presses Australia to admit the asylum seekers it has detained for months or even years in offshore island processing centers. Failing that, the petition calls on Canada to welcome Australia's unwanted asylum seekers here. Now, our doors are wide open, okay? We've partnered with the UN Refugee Agency by international law standards, of which we've agreed to do, and George Soros's Open Societies. And so the idea is that if there's any migrant or anything anywhere on the planet, they should come to Canada. This is what's going on here. And the thing I really hate about Elizabeth May is she was supposed to debate me one time, backed out, because she knew I wiped the floor within a couple of minutes. She's quoting from the United Nations Refugee Agency. According to the UNHCR, people who arrive in Australia without a visa are subjected to punitive measures that can significantly impact their mental health and well-being, including a prolonged determination process that can take up to 4 years and a lack of free legal assistance. But hey, here in Canada, just come on in. You can come through the back door, the side door, through the window. There's no requirement whatsoever to come through the front door. Negative political rhetoric and the resulting community stigmatization of this group of asylum seekers has also had a harmful effect impact on them, reads the UNHCR website. So we have the Green Party leader, and the problem with Elizabeth May is Elizabeth May is a signatory to the Earth Charter, along with the Moore Strong, Stephen Rockefeller, I believe, Gorbachev, and others. And she's also not even a born Canadian; she's a born American. She's a lawyer, which makes her a liar. Professes to be a Christian. A Christian would never sign something called the Earth Charter because that is a worship of the Earth. That's a Gaia nonsensical thing. Straight out, she's a snake. Absolute snake. Slithering around our country, telling us that we have to open our borders to anybody and everybody, and it's the same people that created the UN that's been creating all the wars, has been doing all the bombing, who has decimated these countries in order to make the migrants. And none of this is by accident, it's all by plan. And then we get Islam and Sharia law to the deal. So if anybody needs to be deported from this country, it is one Elizabeth May. And I think a lot of people mistake her as a Canadian beaver. She's got these buck teeth sticking out of her face. And so maybe people think she's Canadian or something, but she's not. She's an American. One of her emblems is the beaver. And she absolutely resembles a beaver with them teeth. So she's gnawing away at our trees or our nation, and the goal is end of nation states. So this is what we're dealing with here, so I have to do a story on this. There is one bright spot here, and I'll have to look this guy up. Joe Bissett, a former longtime federal immigration official and researcher, says Australia's approach serves as a strong deterrent and it does not deserve international scorn. Countries like Canada are helping the wrong people by welcoming asylum seekers instead of assisting more legitimate refugees, he said. I think Australia's got it right and we've got it wrong, he said. If you keep taking them in, they'll keep coming. Once they're in the country, Bissett said, is it extremely difficult, time-consuming, and costly to remove unsuccessful refugee claimants from Canada. More than 28,000 asylum seekers have crossed the border into Canada irregularly, in other words, through the side door, back door, window, since the beginning of last year. Fewer than 1% of them have been removed from the country. With no easy solutions and growing global anxiety, May said she worries that other countries, including those in Europe, could follow Australia's model. She said the world must find better ways to cope with what will be a growing problem eventually, unless we have a dramatically improved global reaction to the climate crisis, of which is totally phony, just like Elizabeth May is totally phony. That's effective. We'll be seeing whole island nations losing their population, looking for places to settle, she said. So we need to figure out an approach that's both compassionate and sensible. Well, compassionate, I have no compassion for Elizabeth May. A sensible solution, a boot up your ass and kick you back into the States, and hopefully they'll kick you somewhere else, maybe to an island nation, and you can run around there looking like a beaver and explain to people that you're full of shit. So that's that. And now I gotta go find Duck because he went to that meeting, and I always I always, now I had a problem with this before. How did I do this? I don't want to call that. Are we going to bring that in there? Nope. Okay, let's try adding them to the group then. See if that works. Okay, well, maybe we've got them. But it was good that he brought some young guys with him to this meeting. And people don't get engaged. I mean, there's a very, 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 very small group of people. In whatever nation you're in, having these backroom meetings or these meetings open to the public never shows up at them. So,
hello.
Yo, hey, how's it going?
Hi.
Yeah, let me see. I can't eat pork anymore in my country. And according to the United Nations, I can't eat meat because it's using up all the water. I don't know. I think I'll just go and graze on the lawn. I'll be a vegan. I'll go out there and eat that flower out there in the lawn, maybe. Yum, yum.
Well, I heard bugs have a lot of protein.
Well, yeah, I guess they do. But if I eat all the bugs and them birds out there eating the bugs, they're going to starve to death. You know, it's not fair to them.
Survival of the fittest.
Pretty much, yeah. And I think I can take that bird out there. I think I can take him on. Depends how weak I get when I can't not allowed to eat meat anymore.
Funny you say that. I was, I went hunting today.
You did?
To the grocery store.
Oh, I like that.
And on my way of hunting, I passed a couple of geese, and I looked at them, and they're big. They're big geese.
Yeah.
And I thought, yum, all you can get out of them is the breasts.
Yeah.
You know, but they're, you know, it's a meal.
Yeah.
No, if I get caught grabbing one by the throat, I'll go to jail.
Well,
but if I go to the supermarket and buy it, then...
Not necessarily. If you tell whoever's giving you a hard time about strangling the goose that it offended you, you might get away.
Well, it's racist.
Well, yeah, it was a racist goose.
Yeah.
Right? You know, yeah, he was calling me a human and, you know, calling me down because I wasn't a goose. Yeah, that might work. I mean, that's how ludicrous, it's just totally ludicrous. Totally and completely nuts what's going on here. So, you know.
But I went to the meeting you were discussing earlier, I went to.
Yeah.
I didn't want to because I knew it was a...
Oh, I've been to so many.
You know, I hate to use the terms leftist, you know, far left, far right, all that. But these guys, they consider themselves left, you know. And,
well, no, they consider themselves universalists.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. It's the universal deal and the international deal, and you know, whether they're conservatives or liberals, you know, they're pushing the cultural Marxism down our throats. But both sides are doing it. I mean, it was a conservative that signed us on to Agenda 21, which was the driver of the meeting you were at, right? So this idea of left, right, I wish people would just pitch that right out the window. We're at war. Simple as that. Our politicians are warring with the people in order to hand us and our resources over to a global government. That's war. Plain and simple. I don't give you shit if this guy says he's a conservative or a liberal or an NDP or a green. I could care less. You're all involved in it. Because if they weren't involved in it, they would be standing on the rooftop screaming bloody murder by now. They're not. They're just fulfilling the agendas without ever telling the people what they're up to. And if, treason is a breach of trust, and there is no political party, at least these mainstream parties, that have not broken the trust, and they're all treasonous dogs. So, I could care left if somebody says, well, I'm a conservative. I don't care. You know, well, we got to look out for those leftists. Well, it was a conservative signed us on to Agenda 21. Well, Harper's the best prime minister. I hear this all the time. Harper's the best prime minister we ever had. Wait a minute. He's the guy that said this is a loss of national sovereignty. Well, yeah, but it's still the liberals. Like, are you stupid? Did you hear what I just told you? Oh, yeah, well, that doesn't matter. It's the liberals. It's those leftists.
Harper,
their minds wrapped around this thing somehow.
Harper said a loss of sovereignty, and the liberal Trudeau said this was a post-national state.
Yeah, the very first post-national state. You know,
so they're speaking the same language, but they're supposed to be total opposites when it comes to running the country. But they're saying the exact same thing.
They're tangled up with these international agreements who were signed by both sides, both the right and the left.
They're not tangled up. They're part of it.
They are tangled up in them. We are under international law. The reason our borders are open is because of the international law agreements that we got involved in way back in the 50s. And so they just kept adding to it until they got where they wanted us. And then, now our country's partnered with the UN Refugee Agency and George Soros' Open Society. Now, how is any of that correct? That's a war. You know, we're not defending the borders of our nation. We've just thrown the doors wide open.
Oh, yeah.
That's a war.
No, but what you suggest in the past is we don't want to raise our guns, which we still do, believe it or not, to any Americans listening, we still do have guns here, but You suggest we don't want to raise guns, but if it wasn't for the United States having their guns, I think we'd be run over right now. I think we'd be done.
Well, yeah, but
so I just kind of feel there is a time where maybe you might have to just raise them up and say, "Look at boys."
Well,
you know,
we don't
like,
have to.
You're going to find one under every rock. Well, even in Canada, you'd be surprised at how many guys I know up here.
There are more people getting guns in Canada pretty much, I guess, on a daily basis now. But at the same token, I mean, you should be able to defend. You should have some way to defend yourself. But, we're not going to win this war with a bunch of pea shooters.
They can't come in and take everybody out unless you get rid of the pea shooters.
They can't sell it. It's impossible to sell. It's absolutely impossible to sell. So what they're doing is they're running in the Muslims, okay, and try to change the laws and take us down from the inside. And they want to create basically a religious war. Inside.
I didn't tell you there was a sign I saw.
Huh?
When I was going to the store, there was a sign I saw, and it was some language I don't know. Then it was in French, and then below it was all rainbow colors, and then it was in English, and then the two lower ones were Islamic language.
Yeah.
And they were saying, "Peace be with all friends."
Yeah.
And that was right on the corner of my street.
Yeah.
And
I'm
going to tell you, 10 years ago, if you saw something like that, somebody would have pulled it out. I'm going to go back tonight when it's dark, and I'm pulling it out. I am. I'm sorry, but I am. But this is a slap in the face. See, the English language was third on the list, and then you had two Muslim languages below it. And saying, "Peace be with you, brother. We are your friends."
Yeah, right.
Until we get the until we get the majority.
Till we get,
you know, and then you're going to see that on the top of the sign.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is.
If I could walk far enough right now, I would just to freaking.
Yeah, what really amazes me is, you know, like Canadians and that, they see this stuff and they just go, "Oh, well, what's that?" I mean, this
whole neighborhood's been taken over.
This is designed to be the easiest takedown of a nation in history, right?
Yeah.
Come on in, have what you want. We'll pay for it. You know, like it's asinine.
I don't like to speak of it much, but, you know, the French weren't very strong in a conflict. The Italians weren't even very strong in the latest conflict that we've had. I'm going back to World War II.
Well, most of the French people.
But the white boys were the tough ones, and guess who was killing who?
Yeah, the white boys were killing the white boys.
Yeah.
All by design, right? By design. Take out the strongest, smartest, and then we will deal with the weaker people and feed them this nonsense. Oh, isn't this great? You know, all these people got killed, but now we've got the United Nations, and it will be peace on earth. And they've been running that rhetoric forever. And the fact is that since the United Nations was formed, there ain't been no peace nowhere. But people have, stuck with that stupid phrase, you know. But they're waking up. They're waking up. So I'm going to have fun at these all candidates meetings, just because I can. I got a note from a hospital about 30 miles from here the other day, asking if the candidates could contact the CEO and explain to him how it is we're going to hold our healthcare system when the equipment in our hospitals is obsolete and old and garbage, and the number of old people here in rural Ontario is increasing rapidly. And how are we going to deal with this? Well, simple, right? We fund it and deal with it, because I've always been a firm believer that if you call yourself a country and you cannot look after your elderly and you're young and you're sick, then you're not a country. This is one thing I hate about the United States. You know, when I was down there, I had my health insurance and I was working down there, and I decided to stay a little bit longer. So I phoned the health insurance company up here, and they told me that I would have to actually physically come back here to sign the paperwork for an extension on my health care. But I get bit by a spider or something down there, and it made me very ill. And my leg was all swollen out of proportion, and there's no way I could get back here in the condition I was. I had to get some medical relief, and because of a piece of paper, right? You know, here's my medical card. Oh, it ran out 3 days ago. So what? Well, we can't help you now. Wait a minute. 3 days earlier, with the same card, you could help me. Yeah. And I would get top-notch looking after. Yep. But 3 days later, you're not going to help me. That's correct. You'll have to go to this other hospital, which is in Liberty City, which is basically a slum. And went down there and looked around. People have been laying on the floors and looked like the bombed-out bus shelter for about 2 days plus. I just looked around and asked the people what the hell they thought they were doing. Well, you put up with this shit. So I just went back to the new hospital that told me they couldn't help me and raised a bit of a fuss and just told them I was going to call the consulate and the media. And so after a while, I finally had a meeting with the financial people and explained that I'm a Canadian and you're going to look after me whether you like it or not. And they finally succumbed. And then I got a doctor and everything was fine. But, you know, when you cannot call yourself a country if you cannot or will not look after the sick in your country. You can't call yourself a country.
Yeah, but you weren't in your country as well.
No, but we're having the same problem here now. More and more people, they're waiting and waiting and waiting. We've got people that have been... I've seen stories where people are parked in a cot in a washroom in some of the hospitals here in Canada. Now, if we can't even look after our own because our hospital system's not working properly, and that's by design, because if you were actually looking after the hospital system, you would be able to look outward and say, you know, we're going to need this, we're going to need that, we're going to need this in a year, we're going to need this in 3 years and 4 years. But they're pulling it back on us because they want the old people dead anyways. And then we've got all these migrants coming in, flooding into our hospital system. If we can't look after our own, then you shut everything down until you can look after your own. And only when you're in a position where you can look after someone else, do you open the door? But that's not
the hilarity of that is it's old guys like you and I that worked our asses off to keep this system growing to help take care of us, but they've been taught and propagandized into believing that it's old guys like you and I that we need to get rid of because they're costing us money.
Well, you've gone
money,
from
money, money.
Yeah, you've gone from an asset. When you're working, you're an asset of the corporation, and the corporation is making money off you. And then when you retire, you become a liability of the corporation.
Useless eater.
Have to pay out. So it's not good for their bottom line. So we need to get rid of you. And so we had this great big push for assisted suicide. They've turned it almost into a happy time.
Yep. Flowers and everything.
Yeah. You're 70 now, and you've had a nice life. You should go away. That's basically the rhetoric that's coming out of here.
And on the other end of that spectrum, they've also got the abortion. That's going big and strong.
Yeah, here, take this pill.
So you, before we're even born, program.
Yeah.
That suggests that you don't want to kill it. So you get them while you're young. You get them while they're old, and anybody in between, you keep working, boy, or else.
Yeah, and I was talking to a friend today. And
nobody. See, one of the biggest issues I have. Was speaking with young men around me, is they got nowhere to learn anything from other than their government.
That's right.
Unless to keep us old guys alive.
That's right. That's right. And that's the whole point. like the young people used to learn. I've never learned anything from the government. Anything I ever learned by myself from my own initiative, or I was taught by someone else. But now it's to the point where unless you're trained by the government, you don't qualify for anything. You know, like my nephew, I was talking to a friend about this the other day, and I said my nephew, when he was working for a plant, and he was all nervous. I go, "What's wrong?" "Well, I got to write an exam." "What can we mean to write an exam? You're at work." Well, I have to write my for my license. You got a license? No, to run a forklift. And I go, when the hell did you need a license to run a forklift? Right? And this is where we've gotten to. Now I need a license to go up a ladder now, right? I mean, piss off. So everything is training by the government. I mean, I rented the front house here to, I think it was five pipe fitters or whatever they were. They were like in their mid to late 30s, and they bring me all this paperwork to sign. I go, what is all this shit? Well, it's our behavioral contract. Behavioral contracts? What the hell is that? Well, we have to agree to behave a certain way, or we won't be hired back on the job, right? And well, that's pretty stupid. I mean, like you're in your mid 30s. And you have to sign a mummy contract with the employer or the government. This is a nuclear plant. And I was talking one day, and they spent the better part of a day learning to walk upstairs for safety. So like you're in your mid-30s, you don't know how to go upstairs? Of course we know how to go upstairs, but somebody fell on the stairs, so now everybody has to take retraining on how to walk upstairs, because some idiot tripped on a stair or something. And this is like, so these guys are in their mid-late 30s, and they're being taught, they're being treated worse than probably five-year-olds. And people put up with this shit, right? So the government has got its hooks into everybody's back so bad, and everybody's afraid for their job, so they just keep bowing down to nonsense. But even the lady at Elections Ontario, when I told her that I was just doing this to gauge where people's minds were at now, I like to do that every now and again to see if they're waking up in it. And even the lady at Elections Ontario said, you know, yep, they got their backs against the wall, and yes, they're starting to ask questions, and it's about bloody time. So I've talked to lots of government people, from the premier's office to different ministries, who are not happy people about what's going on in this country, in this province. They're not happy at all about it. But again, it's that paycheck, right? It's that damn paycheck.
Well, you've got, I'm going to tell you my, I got to be careful how I say this, but I got a neighbor who has a son who is a cop. Okay. Yeah. Guaranteed income for him is $100,000 a year plus benefits that we pay for.
Yeah.
He does fuck all except pass out tickets.
Yeah.
And thankfully we're not on a Revolution Radio, because I just cussed. But he just bought a $80,000 BMW. $80,000 just spent on it.
Yeah, and now tomorrow morning he's going to get out and harass people and give them a ticket.
For speeding.
Yeah. Yeah.
Should see him in our neighborhood. He just when he comes to visit his parents.
Yeah.
Va-voom, va-voom.
Yeah.
Just so happy and so proud of his nice, fast, beautiful car that he has, and a nice car. It really is a nice car. Well, got to give him kudos for that. But we paid for it.
Exactly.
He's only one of about 165 people that patrol in that policing office, my community. And we have maybe one crazy guy a year, maybe, I don't know, domestic violence. I guess that is what it is. Incidents, and they act like they're, you know, if it wasn't for them, we'd all die.
Well, this is the other problem with the police is that people are under the impression that if they don't have all these police around, all hell will break loose or something, and that the police are protecting us.
Yeah, what do they say? You get a, you call the cops, or you know, you've got 10 seconds to do something, and the cops are 10 minutes away.
Yeah. And
if they want to show up, because they don't really have to show up, because
they're not obligated. They're not obligated. They're actually not really obligated to do anything. They're not obligated to give you a ticket. If they see their friend going down the street at twice the speed limit, they do not have to give them a ticket. And if they see you going down 15 kilometers over the speed limit, they can give you a ticket. There's no obligation on their part to do anything, because it's all at their discretion.
Each individual discretion. Bullshit.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
So, but he got a nice car out of the deal.
Jesus.
So you bought him. So we bought him an $80,000 BMW. We bought the car he drives around in to give people tickets in. We bought him his gun. We bought him his pepper spray. We bought him his Billy club. We bought him his taser. We bought him
a flak jacket in Kingston. Last time a cop got shot in Kingston.
Bought him the ticket book that he writes the ticket on to give to you. Right. And people are out there struggling to get by, and he, who you don't have to be real bright to be an officer, is making $100,000 minimum a year, plus sitting there for a good pension and that.
Got tattoos all over his body. Yeah. He looks like a biker.
Well, that's what they're doing now. I mean, these guys are looking pretty wild, man. These aren't your old town police. I mean, I told my friend years and years and years ago, when they changed the markings on the car and they put the big bumpers on the front of the cars and they started wearing flak jackets and that, I said, this, you're watching the militarization of the police force. Oh, no, that ain't right. Unless you're completely blind or stupid, that's exactly what they're doing.
It's right in front of your face.
Yeah, and people
stupid to understand this. They just, oh no, they're the protectors. No, they're not. They're getting a paycheck and they're doing what they're told.
Right.
Gee, I got $100,000 a year. I don't know. Maybe I would buy a BMW and put some nice tats on my arms and protect the public too.
Yeah, we
or
cops.
Or I could just be a man.
Why not make, instead of a guaranteed basic income, why not make us all cops? If everybody was a cop in the whole country, wouldn't we feel safe? And we'd all be able to get nice cars and nice houses. And we wouldn't have a care in the world. So, therefore, when I'm prime minister, we're all going to be police officers, and the minimum wage will be $100,000. And then we've got the problem solved, don't we? Everybody has a good income, and everybody's safe because everybody's packing a gun. Right? But wait a minute, that's like the old days when the people pack a gun for protection.
Well, the most dangerous communities in America right now are the ones that have people that aren't packing guns legally.
There's counties in Georgia that made it mandatory that you're packing, right? Because that's, like I said before, when I worked in the States, a guy from Missouri, he said, I think it was Springfield, Missouri or something, he says, we don't have a high crime rate there. Because everybody's packing. You know, somebody walks into a grocery store and says, I'm here to rob this store. All he's going to hear is
bunch of screaming, oh my God, we're going to die.
No, he says, all he's going to hear is click, click, click behind him.
Oh, yeah, okay, in legalized gun territory.
We don't have high crime here.
Because You know, it is funny that not funny. I'm using the wrong words here. If you go into a county where guns are illegal and guys are open carrying, there's not a lot of criminals walking around because they see it. They see what's coming.
These
guys might just pull them out and
Okay, here's a little old lady walking down the street with a purse. Some crackhead or some idiot decides, I want that purse. And they know that the little old lady ain't packing. Then they'll just hurt the little old lady, break a hip on her or whatever, push her down, break her hip, whatever, steal whatever's hers. And the neighbors might call 911, and then later on the police will show up and the
take your report.
Will show up. But she's hurt already, and she's had her personal stolen. But if that same little old lady has somebody following her down the street that's looking a little tough or a little iffy, she can just simply turn around and say, I wouldn't be doing that, son. That's the end of it.
Yeah, I'm packing.
That's it. It's over. I mean, the first time I went to Vancouver, I was trying to get my life straightened out, and I was done partying. And the problem hanging around with my party friends is they were always, you know, are you all right? All right. Like, you know, let's do this or do that. No, I'm done. I'm done with it. So I just wanted to get away. So I went to Vancouver, didn't know a soul. And I was just packing a penknife, basically, or, you know, a jackknife. And I had these guys, you know, following me down the street, started giving me a hard time and that. And I'm thinking, I don't know a damn soul here, right? And this could get ugly. And there's a lot more of them than there is of me. And so, you know, I just pulled out my knife, turned around, and started walking towards them, right? You know, so you got any ideas, I suggest you change your mind, get out of my face, right? And that solved that problem. They got, whoa, right? So, you know, it's
yeah, but
it's,
you're a big lad. Like, you have a presence.
Well, no, but the point is that if our butcher here in town, who is a big man, they used to have these, even there was, this was a bunch of years ago when the kids were being rough, before they could, now they can't touch each other, but, there was some of them outside his butcher stores giving some old person something a hard time. He went out to smarten them up and he took a severe shit kicking, right? He should have come out with his chop chop thing. That might have straightened them up real quick, but if you can't protect yourself, this idea that I'll phone the cops, well, fill your boots because we'll be long done with you before they ever get here, right?
Yeah,
you know, like what, you trying to scare me? That doesn't scare anybody, right? So no, you have to be able to protect yourself. I mean, in a perfect world, people would get along together. But at the same token, the so-called police force, I mean, if I was in charge of the police force, right, I would just put up on the front of my town, on the entrances, exits to my town, if you come in here and you think you're going to rob somebody or cause trouble, you best go find another town, son. And because we ain't going to put up with no shit here. I think is as good a deterrent as anything, because that is supposed to be the job of the police. Unfortunately, that's not the job of the police. They're there to protect the corporation, not the people. Even in Mexico, there's a couple of towns in Mexico who actually ran the police force out of town because they were so corrupt.
I saw some of that. That is a true story.
Yeah.
I saw some of that. Yep.
They built their own, a neighborhood police force, right? Out of their own population. They're not getting paid or anything. They're just, and they put signs up, You know, you come in here looking for trouble, well, you'll find it, because we ain't putting up with your shit, because we're not corrupt, right? We're here to protect their people. We're here to keep the drugs out of here, and so on and so forth. And so there's all kinds of solutions that work, but
I'm sorry. Well, you talk about Mexico, and I did see that, but I mean, in my own hometown, we got signs now sticking up. We got election signs because we're having a provincial election, right, which you're part of. But in my hometown, they're sticking up signs saying that we are your friends and we love you. Whatever the signs, God, I got to go get one. But it's Islamic.
Yeah.
And the last two of the rainbow colors, they go Spanish, French, then English, then what is their language? Islamophobia? What is that? But anyways, yeah. Well, it's all foreign language to me. I've never seen that before in my life. Now it's all over my neighborhood. We're here as your friends. We love you.
Well,
love us too.
I've been to our town a couple of times with these.
Yeah. Well, this isn't Mexico. This is Canada. You
well,
know, in the United States, boy, I tell you, they see that there, the guns are going to come out from the rocks.
Well, we just have to raise the attitude of our people up, and I'm going to find out what's going on here. I mean, I can't wait to get to this high school next week. I mean, that's going to be sweet, and I cannot wait to get to the Federation of Agriculture, because that's going to be fun, and just to gauge where these people's brains are at. And I mean, I can lay all the documentation in their lap so they know there's no way they can misunderstand what's going on, and make these. When I ran in 207, I mean, the other candidates were getting a little gun shy every time a question was asked. Although at the Federation of Agricultural Candidates meeting, these questions were not from the floor. These were all pre-prepped, narrow, kind of like controlled opposition questions, so the candidates could deal with them, right? But this time they're supposed to have a lot of the questions are going to be pre-loaded questions, then they're going to have, I think, 20 minutes of questions from the floor or whatever. So, we'll see what happens. It'll be fun. But, you know, I got my friend Enos from the couple of counties over who's running in the election, and he's going to run for mayor in the fall, because it's the same thing. I've worked so hard for so many years, and, you know, I finally got it. He says, yeah, you know, we're looking for somebody to solve our problems, but we won't get up and solve our problems. So he's all in now. He's got one child that's registered, and I think three that aren't registered. He has no intentions of registering them. He's solid as a rock. He spent years bitching and complaining about what's going on in the political system locally, and provincially. And, so, well, what are you going to accomplish by bitching and complaining about it? You got to get involved. You got to step up the plate. And make no mistake about it, I don't want to be a politician. I hate politics, because you're going into a den of nothing but liars and deceivers. So, but we got to shine the light on. Anyways, so another time. Thanks for coming, Chris. And I just get back to Sunday. Thank you so much. Thank you for that.